And this question is not in your notes, but it really is what's behind what's written in those notes. It's this question. I found myself asking this to others this week. And it is, what's happening in your life that is helping you listen, become accustomed to listening to the voice of God? We ask him for a lot of things. We ask him for guidance and an understanding of his will. What's happening in your life that's helping you become accustomed to listening, hearing, and understanding the voice of God? Let's pray. Father, as Pastor Dennis prayed, we know that this is your word. And as Luke prayed today as well, that we thank you, Lord, for what, as your word prunes us and makes us righteous. That is the prayer of our hearts today. Your word is really the voice of God. And I pray that as we pray and sometimes plead for ourselves and others, may we hear that voice. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what attracted you to Jesus? I mean, what attracted you, brought you in, reeled you in? We know that the disciples walked with Jesus, but before they were disciples, the 12 that he had appointed to carry this message, he found them in different walks of life. To name a couple, a tax collector. Of all people, a tax collector. The most hated of all people, probably still are today. Especially when there's going to be 87,000 new ones. That I'm planning to pay you a visit, not me. Yeah, right. Well, we had a tax collector, we had fishermen. We had fishermen that even after Jesus had been crucified and raised and seen by the disciples, when there was a little bit of a lull in things, they went back to fishing. Great confidence in the one they'd been following. But they were accustomed to hearing his voice, hearing his teaching, hearing his voice speak to other people. Well, I guess we can understand how they were so attracted to him. They began to follow him. Yeah. And they were so attracted to that voice. They said things like, as the multitudes were leaving Jesus near the Sea of Galilee, he said, because his words were hard to take, as the scriptures say in John chapter 6. His words were hard to take. And he turned to the 12 and he said, so are you also going to leave me? And Peter said, are you kidding? No, he didn't say it quite like that. But he said, no. You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know that you are the Messiah, the Christ of God. To whom else would we turn? So let's turn to, in our Bibles, to 2 Timothy. I'm seriously asking you this question. What was it that attracted you to Jesus? Think on it and really ponder it. It's one of the questions in your notes. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul begins this, the first two verses, we'll start there, and we'll read through verse 7. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that you've heard me say, in the presence of many other witnesses, entrust these to reliable men. Now, it's your job to entrust them to reliable people, faithful people, who will also be qualified to teach and show others the way. Endure hardships like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he must compete. He must follow the rules. No one serving as a soldier gets involved, I took my eyes off the notes, and I just, and not off the Bible. I'm going to go back to verse 3. Endure hardships with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Paul invites in the songs today that Dan chose, we're kind of wrapped up or surrounding this truth that there's a fight, a battle, it goes on for all of us. And we need to endure suffering, as many of the translations use, and hardships. We need to endure these like a soldier, like an athlete, and like a hardworking farmer. And Paul says now to Timothy, and he says it to all of us, this truth, this direction that he gives us, profound direction, he says, reflect on what I'm saying. It's another one of these ideas, chew on it, and chew on it, and get everything God wants to communicate to you. Don't miss it. And keep meditating on these things that I've said to you. The words that I said came from Jesus, and I'm giving them to you. And you're to give them to other people. But get the rest of your life, reflect on these things. And if you do, God's going to show you some amazing things and help you gain insight into his will and his ways for your life, for your ministry, for your family, for your friends, for interaction that you have with people when things are rosy and when things are really demanding and stressful, burdensome sometimes, just living life. Reflect on what I'm saying, and the Lord will give you insight into all these things. You know, verse 3 starts out with this powerful statement, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. Endure these hard times that might give you real serious pain. Real serious pain. For some of you, it's going to be flat out suffering. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, they came for me. They will come for me, and they will come for you. Turn with me to John 15, please. John 15. A while back, Reuben Reed gave a really wonderful series on John 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's in our history of the messages, and you can listen to those at any time. Just go to that, and it will really give you some wonderful instruction. At the end of chapter 15, I want you to turn instead to just the next chapter, chapter 16. All this I have told you, verse 1, that you may not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue, they, the authorities that came after Jesus. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember what I warned you of. I did not tell you this at first cause when I was with you. Have you ever felt like, you know, I hear these stories of martyrs. I hear these stories that sometimes people go through today, sometimes in foreign places, sometimes in school districts right around us, sometimes at the workplace. When people feel like, just because I'm a Christian, I'm the target. And Jesus said, well, don't be surprised that you're the target. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't even want you to think it, let alone say it out loud. Oh, don't be surprised that they'll hate you for taking a stand for Jesus. For Jesus, don't be surprised. Jesus said, I'm warning you, this is the way it's going to be. But I am sending you, a resource that will absolutely not go away. And that's the Holy Spirit who will be in you, will be. And he'll give you the words to say in the midst of all that. Just stay very, very close to him. Stay very wide open to him daily. Make yourself available to hear from God. The question should be asked to all of us every day. Are you available to hear from God? And how do you know it's God talking in your life? And especially apart from the Holy Spirit who is in us. We need to expect suffering. Jesus told his disciples it would come. There were times when they felt, you know, all full of themselves and maybe their youthfulness, maybe their personal strength in the day, as long as Jesus and the other 11 were standing right by them. They felt, I think I'm safe. But he said, it's coming. It's just going to come. What attracted you to Christ? What drew you in? Words of comfort and words of cheer and words of allowing, just having his open arms. Oh, that kind of draws me in. He was presented from the time I was, the time I was in grade school and walked my sisters down to a church two blocks away from the house. I was attracted to him then. I didn't know him. I mean, I knew about him, and that was really good. I sang songs to him and about him, but I didn't know him. It was just my own, I like that kind of a Jesus who showed his love for me. And I read the words in Scripture about how he showed his love for me. But I wonder how I would have felt if I heard then as an elementary school child or as a teenager, after I opened my life to Jesus and invited him to come into my life. Is this like your story? You invited him to come into your life and to save you from your sins? That all sounded so good. But what if my youth pastor, Ken, would have said right at the beginning, now, before you invite Jesus into your life, this is such a wonderful moment right now, but you need, if you're going to follow him, you're going to need to prepare for some suffering. Like, he didn't tell me about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know, who just pointed people toward Christ as his Savior and wrote the words that went into the book, his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Hey, it could happen to you. In fact, you can expect that it will happen to you. Because if they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you, his representative. Unless you just probably stay undercover. You know, just don't make any noise about Jesus anywhere. And don't let your lifestyle show that you're listening to him. Don't organize your life around Jesus. Don't do that. Because you may have to suffer. And there are people all over the world and across the centuries, then and now, that have learned what that means to organize your life around an intimate, personal, informed relationship with Christ. All the good stuff remains good. All the happy, joyful things remain good and wonderful, and we all enjoy that. But Dan chose this song, you know, when the walls close in, when the suffering comes, I'll still give you praise because I know you're the omniscient, sovereign God who has known me since I was in my mother's womb and knows me now. And he knows all the people presently, right now in the world, and he's known them since they were in their mother's womb, even the ones who are persecuting me right now. But suffering, you can expect it. And he tells us really how we must engage with that suffering. Just one little scripture, you can go to it. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 35. You just write that down, please. Luke 14, verses 25 to 35. Under this first point, what does that have to do with enduring hardship with us? Well, the second half of the verse, he says, like a good soldier of Christ. Like a good soldier of Christ. Now, you're going to need to, now I'm going to start these three similes talking about those. We're going to compare this suffering that you're going to go through, in a sense, because of this cost of discipleship, the cost of discipleship. You're going to need to approach this, understand it, maybe in the terms of a soldier. And if that really works well for you, I hope it, and it should, all of these are similar that Paul uses. A soldier, an athlete, and a hardworking farmer. Now, we need to say that, first and foremost, he is talking to a future young pastor. He's going to say, wherever you're going there not for your glory. You're not going there because you like to be number one in your spiritual community. You don't want to be a soldier, like, where there might be some pain? What kind of pain might a soldier go through? A soldier. This is like an enlisted person. You're you're going to have go through basic training, and somebody is going to be yelling in your face and screaming in your face, so I'm told. I was only in the military, kind of, for one day, and it was an officer's training program for it wasn't ROTC, but it was similar in concept. So that on your day of your graduation, you graduated in your uniform as a second lieutenant. So and then I found out I couldn't fly Marine jets with my colorblindness, which I didn't know I had going into it. But I was sworn in for a day. I don't know what that means. I did call up and say, I'm not in anymore. That was it. But, you know, a person, a soldier in the military is going to go through suffering, the suffering of boot camp and the indignity of boot camp. Also going to build up his or her strength, going to then slip under the authority of a commanding officer, and we'll go through in the midst of all of this, whether you're in boot camp or going through your years of enlistment, you're going to be out in the elements, not on a tour of some beautiful places to visit. You'll see a lot of the unbeautiful things. But, you're going to undergo fire. I mean, big time fire. He's writing this to these young pastors. Timothy, first and foremost, listen. You need to consider what you're going into as spiritual warfare. Not only for you on a day-to-day basis, but it's also for every person you love, every person that's part of your group. You're going to be going against the spiritual forces of darkness. The spiritual forces of darkness! Where's the enemy coming from? Where's the point of attack? It's on you and your soul. It's on you and your spirit. It might be even on you and your body. You're going to be at war, spiritual leader. You're going to be at war, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. You're going to be at war, young people, every day. And you're responsible for those people. Understand that. So you are not only going to look at life as this spiritual war, like a soldier would look at it, but you're going to be, all these people are going to be at war. So listen, you need to recognize it day in and day out. Everybody you talk to about me is going to have to understand it's a battle, it's a war. It's against these spiritual forces of darkness. Throughout their lives. So pass this on to them. Timothy was a good soldier of Christ. But he was to pass this on. So let people know, at least from this point on, that it's going to be a battle. And you need to endure it. You need to really, in a true sense of the word, embrace it. Because Jesus said that was going to be happening. Verse 4, he continues with this notion. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. So as a soldier for Christ, you know, I know for some people, they probably read that and they go, here's the Crusades again. But no. He said, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Actually, the word is stronger than gets involved. It's the word that means to get entangled. This is coming from, you're getting orders from outside of your relationship with God. Your boss, whoever is above you, is telling you, this is your priority. God, I don't bring him here. Bring him into this. Jesus, no. So if you were a soldier, and you've now got your orders from your commanding officer, and you've got your orders from your boss, that's going to give you a paycheck, from your job, from your outside influences that kind of want to reel you in as well. No, listen to me. No, listen to me. No. Don't get entangled by things that are, if you do this, if you get yourself entangled, no matter at what position you are in the military, that's going to distract you. And there's going to be a lot of things that will distract you. It's the other voices. Now, you could read this passage, and maybe one time you read through it and you say, "Well, I can feel what this is about any lots of other voices that might entangle me, and they might be the voices that I listen to far more than the voice of God." I'm asking you this question at the beginning. What's happening in your life on a daily basis that keeps you from not being accustomed to hearing the voice of God and recognizing it as the voice of God? I'm listening to so many other voices. So many other voices that I'm now not even in a position where I'm a threat to the enemy. Ouch. Ouch. Could be politics. It could be all the stuff of a family's, a young growing family's busy lives. It could be my interest. These are my passions. My passion for sports, and my passion for politics, and my passion for my hobby, And I got too many other things going on. I'm entangled. It's coming from outside, and I say, "Well, I don't really have time to hear from God." I pray for answers, and I move on. And it's like I'm entangled, wrapped up in these other things, and I haven't listened to the voice of God for a long time. How do I recognize His voice? I become accustomed to His voice. The Holy Spirit is not some spirit that is just, or force, that's just floating around out there waiting to be tapped and become, somehow or another a part of my, "Lord, show me your way." Are you accustomed to listening? And when you listen to my voice, you expect to hear from me? So that when you pray, "Lord, I'm in, this is a crisis that I'm in. Would you show me the way? Please send your spirit. Just kind of send him over my way sometime." He's there in you. He won't say anything. He speaks here. His word is complete. Well, there might be some other things out there that kind of help me really connect with God. Become accustomed to hearing His voice and seeing what He has to say. Well, what do I need to do to hear His voice? Become accustomed to hearing it and recognizing it. He won't say anything that's outside of this book. If it doesn't sound like what's going on here in God's Word, from the beginning to the end, this whole picture. If we're not accustomed to hearing His voice in His Word, boy, if you if you are praying for some ecstatic experience out there that's going to help you, oh, now I know which way to go. You know, I saw it in a game that I was just watching this week. And I was praying, oh, Lord, help them. Help. They need a savior. You know, they're doing so poorly. I actually heard one of the most popular announcers on television actually say that around Christmas time. And he went, oops, they need a savior. Well, that's cute. So he goes on to say, beyond this, in verse 4, like an athlete. I mean, the soldier has got to listen to what his commanding officer says. And he says, if he says jump, you say, how high? That's the only question. Verse 5, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The rules on the field, but the rules of preparation. You know, when an athlete, you know, a young athlete, I'm thinking about this, we've got all these young athletes among our grandchildren. It's really, really fun. And it's going so fast. But, you know, if they want to get fast, what are the rules? You compete according to, do you need to get faster? Do you need to be able to jump higher? What are the rules? Practice jumping. Jumping, jumping, jumping. You know, and you go up to this little box, next box, next box, next box. If you want to get faster, you do all sorts of running. Slow running, sprinting, skipping. Yeah, really, skipping. Weaving in and out, up and down hills. If you want to get faster, you compete according to the rules. Not only the rules of just the field, but do what is absolutely necessary. We had a coach in high school and junior high and high school. It was one school. The head coach was like the best coach for distance runners in the state of Minnesota. I mean, he rescued a lot of young lives to kind of get them on the back, on the right track. Al Halley was the guy, was his name, and our missionary that we've supported for years here now, Tom Ward, a minister to among Pakistani people, Muslims in many different places in the world. Very effective at leading people to Christ, helping them people find Christ. Well, Al Halley, our high school coach, he just rescued Tom from a life of a criminal's life when he came with Al Halley's blessing to live with my folks after his folks died. But you know, one thing Al Halley knew nothing about was pole vaulting. And I remember him saying to me when I was in 11th grade, you're going to have to step it up. You know, the only thing he did to teach me, the only rules he taught me was he handed me a book about pole vaulting. Another track coaches, most of them didn't know anything about pole vaulting. And let me tell you, it took me 2 years to learn how to get into the pit. You know, 2 years of my life. I thought, this is really a waste. But just, you know, but what you got to find out what you need to do to learn to do better and better what you'd like to do. So if you're gonna learn to endure suffering that's gonna come to everybody that's serious about following Christ, if you're gonna learn to do that, then you need to compete according to the rules. What's the point? I'm comparing this to what it means to endure suffering. Get used to listening to the voice of God, recognizing it, and organizing your life around the Word of God. What are you doing daily to learn to recognize the voice of God? Do you Do you practice according to the rules? This is what God said early in the book, in many ways. But Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night. Are you hearing the voice right now? Meditate on God's word. Every single person here who wants to get better at listening to God and recognizing his voice, start practicing chewing on God's word every day. I'm not talking about, well, I'm going to read my little devotional right now and read that verse. That was good. I mean, that was pretty good. I do the verse of the day. I listen to somebody else talk about it, maybe with profound accuracy, maybe kind of fluffy. But I listen to this person talk about this for about 2 minutes. And then I took care of devotions, took care of, you know, this will teach me to, I mean, I think it's good that you do devotions. Start out thinking about what God's word says every day and chew on it and chew on it. And chew on it. Come back to it. And chew some more. Just suck out all those juices from God's word. Well, I'm not going to be a pastor. Not a second lieutenant, not a first lieutenant, not a major. That's for somebody else. They need to go to training all the time. Well, they do. They do. And if you're going to become a general, you're going to have to go for training, and your wife is going to have to go for training. Your spouse is going to be there training right alongside of you. Get used to listening to God's word and chewing on it, and throughout the day, coming back to what you read in the morning. And before you close your eyes, I was thinking of a song that we, among these, the lullaby, on the lullaby CD that we gave. It says, instead of "Now I lay me down to sleep," it says, "Let no evil come into my dreams." How do you do that? How do you protect yourself from that? You chew on God's word. Because what Joshua said, meditate on these things day and night. Here's the rules. As you do, for in that you will make your way prosperous, and in that you will find success. Compete according to the rules. Like a hardworking farmer, work hard at this. Getting used to listening to the voice of God. This is verse 6. The hardworking farmer. Because he's working not also like the athlete to win the prize. He's working to get the harvest that is his. That's due him. But he's got to keep weeding. He's got to keep hoeing to get the weeds out of there, competing for all the nutrients. You want those to go to your plants, and then you earn the prize, which is the harvest. So Paul writes at the end of this portion, reflect on what I'm saying, the stuff I've heard from Jesus, the things that I said when I said, don't be ashamed. And we started out talking about, I'm not ashamed. Well, maybe you are guarding your life too much, and maybe you are too much an undercover agent for Jesus. Because I don't like suffering. Because my family is turned off by what I'm saying. Somebody asked us to pray recently for her son. And I know that she's written a letter to her son, wanting him to hear once again from her. Rightly so. You need to walk with God. You need to find Jesus. And sometimes going public and sometimes reminding them might not put you in a good place in your relationship. Don't give up on this. Become accustomed to hearing the voice of God. So what's happening in your life that's happening, that's helping you recognize, hear from, and recognize the voice of God? What's happening in your life that will maybe prevent you from hearing his voice, prevent you from understanding his will for your life, for helping you in the midst of a crisis, or for helping you in the midst of the best and most delightful day you can hardly ever remember? But you wouldn't hear his voice then. What are you doing to become accustomed to that? So Paul says, reflect on what I'm saying, for this will give you insight into all of this. Isn't that great to be able to reasonably expect insight into what you're going through now? Will you join me in prayer? Let's all stand, please. Our Heavenly Father, I think of all the times you tell us, one way or the other, that we need to listen to you. Sometimes our will seems to just fight for dominance. There's so many voices out there, from family, from friends, voices that come from some really pleasant things that we all enjoy, and some things that many things that communicate for our attention and complicate, preventing us from really recognizing your voice. I thank you, Father, for showing us in your word that if we'll compete according to the rules that you've laid out in your word, if we'll learn to listen by working hard, just following through with what you say, that we'll learn to hear your voice, even above the roar of all those competitors. We thank you, Lord, for your precious promises, for your commands. Teach us to follow the God who loves us and gave himself for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.